This piece of scripture, a story about a man who was dead. You have to see the whole sketch. You have to see the whole picture. And the picture is this, that Jesus had been speaking, and previously Jesus had caused the centurion's servant, who was very sick, according to verse 2, and ready to die, Jesus had caused him to become life again. And this had aroused the people. All amongst the people, people were saying, what a wonderful person this Lord Jesus is. And they were convinced that this Lord Jesus was God visiting them. And they were saying that so that in the morning when he was starting out on the day, he started up the hill or out of Jerusalem to go down to Nain. And as he approached Nain, there was a whole group of people in the little village or town of Nain, and they were coming out of the village. Now see this, there's a whole gaggle of people following Jesus and attempting to go into Nain. Jesus was leading the way and they were talking and he was speaking. They come to Nain and there's almost the whole town is coming out because a young man had died. We're not told how he died or any of the circumstances. We're just told he had died and they were about to bury him. And so they laid him on what we would call a stretcher, the Greeks called a bier, and they were carrying him out of the town, and in front, we don't know this for sure, but it seems as in front of the procession with the body, the mother who was weeping was leading the procession out of the town. The two crowds collide. There's your background. Now watch what takes place. We read it together and you saw this happening from verse 11 down to verse 17 and of the chapter 7 of Luke. And as we see this, it's very necessary. Look at verse 11 if you have your Bible open. And you will see it came to pass the day after that Jesus went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. That's the crowd going into Nain. Now, when he came near the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and many people of the city were with her. That's the crowd coming out. Jews were not allowed to bury their dead inside the town or the city. It had to be outside. They couldn't have the dead with them. If you go into Deuteronomy, you discover it was a dreadful thing for anyone to touch the dead. And this is not a coffin that they're carrying out. This is a stretcher. It is a stretcher upon which the body, the dead body of this man is lying. And as we look back in the scripture and over scripture, we discover there are only two other incidents where Jesus raised the dead. He said to a little girl, get up, stand up. He turned to the parents, he said, feed her. She's in need of food. The other one was when Lazarus was dead and Mary and Martha said to him, we know and we believe in the final scheme of things, there is the resurrection of the dead. We believe that stuff, but you know, our brother's dead and if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now here's the thing. We Christians get ourselves worked up about death to a point where sometimes we lose track. We don't really know where we are tracking. And it seems a great tragedy to us that so-and-so has died or is dying and so on. And it is a tragedy. I'm not diminishing that fact. It was a great tragedy. It's a great tragedy, I should say, when parents die, when children die, when loved ones leave this world. It's a great tragedy in one sense. But if they're loving the Lord, and if you're loving the Lord, it isn't so awful as you may imagine. Because absent from this body, we're present with the Lord Jesus. But this was not so at the time of this young man's death. And so we see this young man is being carried out on a stretcher. And as he's being carried out, Jesus looks at the crowd coming out of the city of Nain, or the town, and Jesus, verse 13 says, the Lord saw her, and had compassion on her, and said to her, weep not. Now, let's take this in its compartments. There are three movements here. First off, the Lord saw her. Then, secondly, he had compassion on her. And thirdly, he said to her. Let's look at the first and understand that the Lord saw her. There isn't a thing that happens to you that the Lord Jesus doesn't know about. God has never been surprised at the downers. He's never been surprised at your uppers. He has never been surprised by your circumstance and your reaction to it. God is not surprised. He saw you where you were. The psalmist says that he knows our down sitting and our uprising. He knows our thoughts afar off. Now, if you think about those three things alone, when I sit down and am relaxed, he knows where I am and what I'm doing. In today's parlance, we're watching some game on television. In today's parlance, we're watching some murder or some dreadful thing happening, some crime happening on television. There doesn't seem much else on television at all. And he knows we're sitting down watching this stuff. Now let's go a step further. He knows our uprising. He knows when we're on our feet, about our business, about our work. He knows when we cheat. He knows when we're right. He knows when we're wrong. He knows when we're doing the right thing at the right time. He knows us as we're about our daily life. And it's very important to understand he knows our down sitting and our uprising. Jesus saw this woman. He knew that she was a widow. He knew that she was now grieving over her only son. He was an only son, and he knew his father was going to be grieved over the suffering of the son. He knew this. Now I understand a widow. A widow in those days had no social security, had no welfare system, had no stamps to go and collect. She had nothing. And she relied upon her family to look after her. This is an important thing. This young man, one way or another, was striving to keep his mama safe. He was seeking to help her and keep her economically. He was seeking and helping to keep her as she should be kept. One thing I taught my children, look after your father and your mother. You're my insurance against old age. I've just left my son and his wife. We spent a day with them yesterday or the day before and came home yesterday, and I just reminded him, now don't forget, you're going to look after us. Oh yes, we'll look after you. in the way that I expect to be treated now. But in all seriousness, this was the Jewish custom. So her means of support with her husband was gone. Her new means of support was from her son. Now he was gone. See the desperation of the woman for a moment. And see in your heart that there are things that you could do and can't do. See in your body the things that you were able to fix and able to perform, and now you can't. The frustration of that, the agony of that, is alarming. And so we have to come to a place that Jesus saw her situation. Then we discover he had compassion. He sees, he knoweth our frame, he knoweth that we are dust. He knows that we are tempted. He knows that we get carried away with every wind of doctrine. He knows that we get caught up in the emotion of the moment. There was an old saying in the British Royal Corps of Signals that a signal was sent, and it said, "Send reinforcements, we're going to advance." But when it got down the line eventually, it said, "Send reinforcements, we're going to a dance." There's a lot of a difference between advancing and dancing. Advancing and dancing, something like that. There's a lot of difference. And things get mixed up, so they do in our lives. And Jesus saw that this woman had a tremendous confusion, a colossal frustration, a terrible disappointment. He saw her condition and he saw her situation, and he had compassion. He reached out to her. There was a movement inside him where he ached. A few days ago, Renee and I were visiting with Diane Kempton, and as she lay upon her bed in considerable pain, she was telling us of the things that had happened to her spine and how she was they had done all the bits and pieces they did to her spine. Been there, done that. And all I could think of was, I've got to stop from weeping in front of people. It was the biggest difficulty to just stand there and listen to her. And Jesus much more had compassion on her, and he had difficulty not joining in the sobbing. The circumstance, the human circumstance, causes us to have what the Bible calls bowels of compassion. I have a literal aching within my body. Some of you know this. Some of you have experienced it. There is an ache within the body. It's a physical thing, though it's a spiritual. Jesus had compassion. And then the last thing we read in this verse is that he said to her. Now, he wasn't asked to do a thing. The two crowds collided. He obviously was towards the front of his crowd. This woman and this buyer were obviously in the front of that crowd. And Jesus saw, understood in a flash, exactly what was going on. You may come just as you are, without a single plea to the Lord Jesus Christ. He understands your down sitting, your uprising. He understands that you've been shoved around, pushed around. You've been misunderstood, and you've been mistreated, and you've been miscalculated, and people have missed the argument of your life, and they've been cruel to you. You may be in all of that circumstance. Jesus knows it. You don't have to tell him even. And nobody has to ask him on your behalf. Jesus stepped out from the crowd and walked across to this bier and put his hand on the bier, on this stretcher. And the men, the pallbearers, they understood this immediately. And they stood still. Jesus said to her, what? He said, weep not. Now he wasn't saying, I suggest to you that you think about some sunny day and this gloomy day goes away. He wasn't being psychological at all. He was beginning to show his authority. Later, when Jesus was back from the dead, he said, all authority, all power, all legal rights, everything you can imagine, the dynamic of God is given to me in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth. I have this power. Now notice how Jesus uses this power. He says, woman, he doesn't. He just said, weep not. Stop it. You don't have to keep on. And he didn't give any room for her to say, but I'm so sad. Look at my circumstance. He didn't give her any room at all. Look how this thing goes on. He came and touched the bier, verse 14, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. I'm telling you, get up. To whom was Jesus speaking? To the dead young man. Where was he speaking? Into eternity. I can't say to you, arise and walk. I can't speak beyond what we know, what we understand. My discussion with you is simply from man to man, to man to woman. I can't reach into eternity. But Jesus reached into eternity. He said to the woman, here's my authority, weep not. Now he comes to that bier and he puts his hand on it and says, young man, arise. And he's speaking beyond the obvious, way beyond, because the spirit has left this young man. And he's calling the man's spirit back from eternity into this body. All the power, all the might of the Lord Jesus. Why we go elsewhere for our comfort, why we go elsewhere for our help, why we go elsewhere for anything is quite beyond me to understand, because all power is given unto me, said Jesus. My dear one is dead. Speak with Jesus. Go to Jesus. My heart is breaking over some circumstance. Go to Jesus. Now you think that's too simple. It doesn't have enough frills around it. You think it should have some vast argument, some great discussion. I don't think so. Because the simplest of persons can understand, if I go to Jesus and tell him about my troubles, he understands my beginning and my end. Let's look at this verse as it travels. Young man, he says, arise. Verse 15 comes. And he was the, he that was dead sat up and began to speak. There must have been a sight for sore eyes. I'd have loved to have been there. Two crowds almost clash. Two crowds come together and Jesus stops the funeral crowd and he says, young man, arise, you dead person, get up. And the young man sits up and he speaks. Jesus called beyond the grave into eternity and said, spirit, get back here. fill this man again. Come back. And the young man sat up and began to speak. I would have loved to have seen that. And he delivered the young man, verse 15, to his mother. Now we come to this, the reaction of the crowd. Look at it with me in verse 16. There came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. God had visited his people. You may say, I want to show the power of God because I want us, the doctors, to realize they don't have power. They don't have authority. They don't have the ability. We want to show people that the ordinary circumstances of life aren't equal to God. That's not a wise praying area. Our prayer should always be that we may glorify Jesus Christ, and he will show the Father. If you show the Son, the Father is seen, for I and my Father, said Jesus, are one. And God will visit, or will appear to have visited, his people. Verse 16 says, and there came fear, or rather verse 17, and this rumor of Jesus went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. When we realize what Jesus does, now let me apply this. I want to apply it to my life, your life, our lives. When I'm in great need, whatever it is, physical, spiritual, mental. I need a lot of help mentally. Someone's going to tell me that. But if I need, and I'm in need, I may turn to Jesus. And he supplies my need. Not because I yelled and cried and all that sort of thing, but because he has riches in glory to give me. Now, so many people think riches of glory means money. I would say that too. But that's not always what I need. If you can understand that you were born with sin in your heart. In sin did my mother conceive me, said the psalmist. Not that she was a sinful woman particularly, but just in the natural course of birth, I inherited sin from my mother, from my father. I inherited sin. I am a sinful person. If I can acknowledge that, I must now acknowledge that God has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. So the brand of death is upon me. I am to die. If that bothers me, and I want to know the difference between eternal life, because I would like to live on beyond this grave, I now need to come to this Lord Jesus Christ and listen to his words, where he tells us that I need to be born again. Not my body. Nicodemus thoroughly fouled up the understanding of what Jesus said. He said, can I be born again, be born a second time? Can I re-enter my mother's womb and be reborn? He was saying, you're silly, Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. And Jesus said, marvel not that I say to you that ye must be born again. That which is spirit is spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. Don't be surprised what I'm saying to you. He said, there is a spiritual thing, and you need to be born again. Which means the death that my sin produces is done away with. My name is written down in glory, and I have life abundantly. How do you focus on that? Can you? Are your sins forgiven? The answer is, if you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are forgiven. And you are free from the burden, not just of sin, but the result of sin, which is death. For the wages of sin, the results of sin, are death. So the Apostle Paul writes an eloquent little piece. He says, I look at death and I say, where is your victory, O grave? How can you be victorious over me? I'm already born again. You may suck my body into the ground, but I am alive in Christ. Where is the sting of the grave? It has none, because the person trusting in Jesus is alive unto God. And absent from this body, I am present with my Lord. And if we were all good Pentecostals, we'd have all said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But we're not Pentecostal. We're more Baptistic. We need to think about these things. And we need to honor the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy rich salvation, so full, so free. It's the gift of God. He has given this to you. Have you ever trusted Jesus, your Savior? You should. Well, I leave with you this story. There was a young man in Nain. And he was dead. And you may have come in here today dead. Dead in trespasses and dead in sin. And now is a good time to repent and believe that Jesus can change your entire life and make you whole. Let's bow in prayer. Most gracious God, we ask that you'll speak to us quietly, gently, in our soul, and that you will open the doors of salvation to every person that has never put their trust in you. Help us to see ourselves as carried about with every wind of doctrine, with every container that will hold us. Help us to understand that you alone are the Lord, our God. Bless now, we beseech you, this word in all of our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to sing the hymn 506. 506.